What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky, and today we're talking about two people that may have performed the best prison break in history. The writing is on the walls for stocks and inflation due to the Fed rate increase of 50 basis points, Roe versus Wade information leak at the most opportune time for midterms, and we think we might know who did it. All that and more on today's Toasty Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button, and let's get toasty. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're looking for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast, you've come to the right place. Sky created the Toasty brand to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. We call that staying toasty. If you support our work, please subscribe and tell others about our show. All right, dude. So yeah, I went to my high school reunion this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Did you go to yours?
I didn't even get like an invitation to mine.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No.
Who? What kind of chode was running your shit, man?
I don't know. I would have gone too because I went.
You would've?
Yeah, I went from kindergarten to senior in high school in the same school district.
That's what I did. I did the same thing, and I was a 13-year kid, right?
Yeah.
And there's a few of us, and people don't understand, you know, if you did not go to a school like this, you have no idea how close you get to people.
Right.
It's weird.
You end up going to the same, even if you don't even talk to them that much, you end up going to the same school as them for 15 years, right? Or at least the same district. So you know who they are for 15 years, which is a crazy amount of time for someone who's literally, you know,
you see someone
18,
grow up. You see someone grow up.
I guess it'd be like 12, 13 years. But yeah. Anyway.
They know who you are, dude. It's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Super weird. Like, you would think, like, oh, you don't know who I am. I've changed now. But you go to your... I went to my 10-year class reunion. Get this. We walk in, right? It was some, like... We had, like, a reservation at a restaurant that's in freaking Lindale, you know, small town or whatever. Uh-huh. And it's called Brisket Love. Shout out to Brisket Love. It's good. It's a freaking awesome barbecue spot. But whatever. They have live music, bar, all that crap. It's probably like the first bar that ever came to Lindale because we used to be a dry county.
Oh,
we
wow.
were a dry county until I was like
wow.
out of high school, dude. Or in
oh,
high school.
Dude,
I don't know.
So you like literally drove a county over to get...
You're telling me, yeah. We drove to freaking Red Springs or, you know, somewhere else. I don't know, man. It was crazy. But anyway, walk in, bro.
Hoodlums.
Walk into this joint and I'm like, I don't know what to expect. High school reunion, dude. What is it going to be? 10 people here?
Huh.
You know? Is it going to be 350 that actually graduated?
Yeah. That's about how big my class was. I think it was like 400 maybe.
Yeah. Like in Aledo?
Yeah.
Dang, dude.
It was a lot
but
smaller
they were all like
then.
But they were all like popped collars and doing coke.
No.
I'm
Aledo's,
just kidding,
no,
dude.
No, I would say Aledo I would say Aledo's a very diverse group of white kids, okay? It is, though. You've got really, really rich
very
ones
diverse
and some
group
really,
of,
really poor ones.
Holy
too.
Crap. So it's like
everybody in between.
It's like New Zealand. Diverse group of white people, you know?
Or Europe.
Europe in general. Okay, anyway, I walk in, dude. Let me try to get through. I'm walking in. First thing I see, bro, I'm like, oh, is that all the cheerleaders at one table?
Oh, my. Of course.
Of course, with their husbands or whoever the hell they were
that
with.
That is so crazy.
I looked to my left. So that was my left. I looked to my right. Oh, my gosh. Is that like, this is terrible. All of the high school people are going to listen to me and think I'm a dick. But I don't care. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Oh, so no. The high school people won't like you.
Is that the, yeah, right. Is that the lesbian table? Like, I turned
oh
to my
gosh.
Right. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, it's like, whoa, dude. It's the lunchroom.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
It's the damn lunchroom when I walk into my high school
later,
reunion.
Yeah.
And I'm out here, dude. Look, it's so funny to me. All the girls wore some kind of professional attire. Not even kidding.
Wow.
Every single girl was wearing like
Whoa.
Some kind of nice dress or like I said, professional
they
attire.
Look good for
with
their
a vest on.
Classmates.
It's
That's
not like a prom dress. That's what I mean. I mean like literally
yeah, why would you
like they're
be,
going to work, bro.
Look like a freak.
Professional work. You know what I walked in with? Oh. You bet your ass I walked in with short shorts and a freaking MTV tank top.
Oh, my God.
Tie-dye, dude. I am the guy for that.
Guy.
But I didn't know they were dressing up.
It's a reunion. It's a class reunion,
Shit,
bro.
It's a brisket love. We're all having a good time. Also, I forgot about it, so I was already in town, and I was like, oh, crap. But I walk in, and I'm like, oh, wow. Well, this is awkward.
You're like, you were literally went to your high school reunion, and you walked in. You're like, oh, I was just in the neighborhood and thought I'd pop in. Literally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's your story? Okay.
But anyway.
You're too cool.
I was, no. I'm just kidding. I'm not the people that said I'm too cool to go to this thing. You guys suck.
I wish. Know? I would have gone, and I would have gone in my high school car, because I still freaking have it.
Oh,
and it
crap.
Looks the exact same from when I was in high school, because really? It's been garage kept since then. Yeah.
Dude, what a badass, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I wish I had my high school car, dude.
So when people like rolled in, they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's Matt Bricker in his Camaro. Holy crap.
Dang it, dude.
Flashbacks galore.
Yeah.
You know, would have been fire. I really wanted to go. No invite, no news, nothing.
Well, no one was doing it on our end either. You know, it's supposed to be the president or like the...
Right.
It was that our president is working for the government in Washington, D.C. in D.C. in a very, very, very confidential area, which... I'd be awesome if I could get him on the show, by the way, speaking of that.
Yeah.
But that's going to be hard. I don't even know how to get contact with him. I have no idea. We kind of hung out growing up together, too. He was a 13-year kid as well. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, walking. I'm like lobster red, too, because of all the sun. Yeah, it's hilarious. But I walk over to the same table I would have walked over to at lunch.
Okay.
And literally sat down, you know, and me and Nolan both were there, you know.
Huh.
And
cool.
Me and Nolan are both just our happy selves, and we're like, kind of like, wow, of course, right? Dumb. But it was cool. It was okay. I had a good time. We did some picture, and you know what pissed me off about that?
Did they let, like, the guest in the picture or something?
No, they didn't. They let the guests take the picture, but they don't know how to freaking take a picture, bro. I'm pissed because I was never into cameras or photography or videography or any of that crap until like 2 years ago when I started doing this freaking podcast. And I'm out here like judging these people. Like, what are we doing here? The picture they put up on Facebook, I was like, what the hell? There's like light glare and shit. I'm like, what are you guys doing, bro? And it was with...
Amateur hour.
Yeah, it was with an iPhone 13. I saw the three cameras, or iPhone, I guess 12, could have been 11, 12, or 13.
But the thing is...
But all those cameras are amazing. And I'm like...
I was like, aren't those cameras basically like infallible? Like,
bro, they had four cameras, four guests taking photos. And they got the one with me looking over to the side, which I don't care about me, but I'm looking at the picture, like the quality, like what are we going? What's
well, does
going
your
here?
Jawline look good like that, though,
dude? Always.
I mean, that's what I'm.
That MTV
about.
Man, psh, tie dye,
blam,
red
Notice
shoulders,
me. Love me,
skin
Remember
fade.
Me fondly.
No, I commented on the photo. I was like, hey, thanks for getting my good side.
That's hilarious,
isn't
oh
it? Just
gosh.
So funny. You're oh my just, god,
you're a riot.
All right. Anywho, that's my story. And then I got apologies and stuff like that, too, from the high school reunion. Oh, I'm so sorry for this and that 10 years ago. It's like,
what?
I wasn't like super popular or anything, but there's some things that happened, drama or whatever.
Bullies?
Girls are weird, man. No, not bullies. Girls are weird, man.
Oh, because like, you were friends with a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And they were kind of like.
Not in a gay way.
Well, right. Kind of, though. You weren't like the gay friend. You were just immediately zoomed into the friend zone.
Yeah, it was bad, man. I did that a lot. I feel stupid for that, honestly. I feel really
well,
stupid.
Well, you
for
learned
that.
Your lesson.
Did
I? Mean,
I went the exact opposite way. I'm like, nah, screw that. Not wasting my time no more. Get the heck out. Yeah. I'm not gay. That's not what I mean by that, by the way. That sounded like it could have been that. But no, I mean, like, I don't just hang out with girls randomly
you,
now.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like on
you
purpose.
You
know?
Don't try and be friends with girls.
No.
That's,
yeah,
that's,
I got 99 problems and a girl's not one. So
yes, because they all have like 1,000 problems.
Exactly,
they want
that's what I'm saying.
You to
so
hear about them
up,
and not solve them.
I don't want any solutions. I want you to listen. But
you just say that sucks. I'm so sorry. And
yeah,
that's it.
And that's it. Stop.
They're
right
assholes.
There. Stop right there.
And then stop. Because the minute you come up with a solution, it's like you that's you digging the hole right there.
You're digging the hole. Now she's mad at you for some reason, dude. Yes, man.
You're not empathizing.
Right. And they just brought up old drama.
You're
they
being
like, sorry,
a guy that wants
you know,
to...
for all
That's
this
the
stuff.
Thing is like, okay, it happened 10 years ago. Now you want to apologize?
Well...
I mean, maybe they never had the opportunity.
Okay, I can't say much. They had the opportunity, but it wasn't a big deal. Like, I am not the guy. I don't hold grudges, dude.
Yeah,
I don't
me
do
neither.
That.
Me neither. I'm not that kind of person at
I just
all, so
can't,
I'm just like,
man.
I'm just like...
It was just a weird thing that happened, and I would love to explain it to you it's the first
off
time,
air?
This is the first time I'll say that I don't really want to explain it on air.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird? Like, I usually am very open, and people that listen to this podcast know that I literally tell all my dating stories.
Yeah.
Which I need to date somebody so I can come up with some new stories.
Get out there, dude. What's up with the personal trainer chick? Give us a quick update on that.
It's going okay. I haven't been able to go to the gym very much because I've been out in San Antonio working.
Uh-huh.
But I went today, this morning, dude. Uh-huh. Man, it feels so good to get back in the gym.
Yeah.
Tell me about
the girl.
Oh my God. Personal trainer chick's okay. I haven't seen the gym crush. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her yet.
The audience really wants to know. For real.
I get it.
Because I get asked about your gym crush. I'm like, I don't know about ask him, man.
Leave a comment in the video.
Like, there's like four people that watch the damn video. So just leave a comment.
We will respond
to you. It'll help the algorithm.
It'll help. For real though, guys, if you like want to comment or ask me questions or talk about it, you can't.
We definitely. Like, seriously, I read the comments on the videos.
Why would I ever? I'm not going to shun somebody because they asked me a freaking question.
Well, I might, depending on the question. You asked me the wrong question.
Okay. Well, see, that's Matt. That's not me.
I'm sensitive.
Anywho, dude, Gym Crush Girl hasn't been back to the gym, man.
Do you think she found another gym?
I don't know, dude. Look, guys, if you live in Fort Worth, I need the army of Toasty Podcast listeners to look for this girl, you know?
We'll post a picture of her on it.
Oh, no, my God.
Find her. No, just kidding.
Billboard.
Just a joke.
Her name's Jenna, though. Her name's Jenna, and, you know,
she's like 6'2".
She's tall. She's blonde. What can I say? She's 6 foot. She looks like she works out, so, like, she's fit. I mean, I'm, man, whew.
Sky's getting hot and heavy over here. He's sweating.
All right, anywho, let's move on to the other gym, the other crush.
Yes, the jailhouse romance. Oh, my gosh. This is a hilarious story. So, I've actually seen it on multiple different news sites. I first saw it on Daily Wire, of course, because I'm like a super addicted to that.
We know.
But anyway,
we know.
I also saw it on like, I don't even know, CNBC or some other. I saw it on Yahoo and it was linked to some other website. But anyway, it's a really funny / crazy story. So this is from Daily Wire. Ben Zeisloft is the writer here. The headline is Jailhouse Romance. The headline isn't even that important. So they posted a $25,000 reward for these people. So it's an Alabama prison official, and so last week there was, this is from the article, said a missing Alabama prison official and the inmate with whom she disappeared last week were seen on surveillance footage abandoning a marked vehicle together. So she disappeared on Friday with him, and she's a correctional officer, Vicky White, and she had been there for like 20 years, I want to say. It was a long time, at least like minimum 10 years. I'm thinking like at least 15, 20 years, and had no issues in the past, like had like almost a spotless record, right? And let's see. Earlier this week, investigators confirmed that a quote-unquote special relationship existed between the pair, and the inmate is Casey White.
Okay, wait a second.
No relation. Same last name.
What?
No relation. Yeah,
just that's really weird.
So this guy is in prison because he admitted to stabbing a woman to death as a hit job.
Oh, as a hit job?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not it.
Yeah, he got paid for it. So the murder's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's not his fault.
Yeah, I mean, 5-10 years, that's it.
So Vicky's out here.
So Vicky White
falls in love with this
prison
guy.
Guard, yeah, basically falls in love with this guy. And now there's a $10,000 reward for her and a $15,000 reward for him.
They escaped?
They're still on the lam, bro. They've been gone for like a week. Like over a week. Yeah, this is like developing.
And the thing is,
not only are they gone, she left it in her patrol. I think she left it in her patrol car and then took all the guns, bro. She has very likely. Let's see. Oh, so real quick. So she sold her house for $95,550, and its market value is $235,000.
Like she sold it for $95,000 while the market value. So it hasn't gone up, right? That is the market value.
Yeah, she sold it for $95,000. Far below its market value price of $235,000.
Holy crap.
Yeah. On April, like less than half.
What are they about to do?
Like 40%. They have already left the country. I guarantee
you. You think so?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They had a plan in place before. Because she's on the outside, and she's got resources. On April 18th is when she sold her house, and then she withdrew approximately $90,000 from several banks before April 29th. That's according to ABC News.
I would love to be the guy that bought the house.
Right? I know. That's a steal.
What a lucky guy, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to search the crap out of it, but... indeed, Vicky White's mother-in-law, Frances White, told the Daily Beast on Tuesday that the official had amassed large sums of money over time to keep herself afloat and may have been brainwashed into freeing Casey White. Maybe, if she was lonely. I think she just was super-duper lonely and needed someone, and he convinced her that they could run away together. I mean, he's probably going to kill her. That's what I would do if I was him.
When people say, hey, set me up with somebody, they mean it.
Yeah. She had said that she'd like to live in Florida. That's the only thing I can think of. Frances White told the outlet Vicky White's late husband passed away in January as a result of complications with Parkinson's. So, like I said, she is lonely. She meets this guy. This guy's like, we'll run away together and live on a tropical island. You know, not Florida, because, you know, DeSantis walks up. But, and she had money. So, Frances White, her mother-in-law, said that she had money before she sold her home. She saved her money. I figure if she still got her money, she's still got enough to live on for a while. And this guy may have been like, look, I'm a hitman. I know people on the outside. I've got connections.
Well, yeah. How much money did he get from the hit job that he went to jail for, you know?
Right. And I've got money as well, stashed away. Because if you're a hitman, you're not going to put your money in a bank where the government can seize it.
No,
you're
going to
hide gold bars and underground.
But I wonder what kind of... I wonder who he killed, why he killed him, and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to
hit
know
jobs
more about
are interesting,
that.
You know, because what if it was some political leader, you know?
So the woman he killed was Connie Ridgway. She was killed in 2015. He confessed in 2020 to stabbing her to death, and that's kind of a interesting way to, you know, perform a hit, in my opinion. Usually it's like a shotgun where you can't trace the, you know, you shoot someone with a shotgun, then you pick up the shell, and that's it. Because there's no ballistics with a shotgun. Then again, there's no ballistics with a knife, but there's still a, you know.
You're still closer to them with all the, maybe you touched something.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, there's a lot, or you could cut yourself and there's defense and there's so much more that can go wrong.
Well, anyway, now that everyone knows how to perform a hit job, holy crap.
Well, I've got a lot more good juice.
I didn't even know that. Actually, about the shot. I knew that BBs didn't have the stuff on them to do ballistics, but I was like, the ability to do ballistics, but
right.
I didn't even think about that.
Right. So the thing is, if you leave your shell, there's microscopic indentations on the firing pin that will hit the back of the shell. So you got to pick up your shells if you're going to murder someone.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's that story. And they're still on the lam.
My hot NSA agents are listening to this now. Thanks a lot.
Their 2007 Ford Edge was abandoned in Tennessee. Williamson County, Tennessee, in case you live up there and you're listening to the show, keep an eye out for those people. It was initially spotted hours after the escape. So they escaped April 29th. Golly.
Honestly, I'm into this, man. I mean, prison break, dude, like Shawshank Redemption. Like, I don't know, man.
Wow, the car was initially found locked and without tags.
They found the car. They found the car,
and
huh?
They took off the license plates. Like, dude, she's a correctional officer that has been in the system for a long time, so she knows exactly what they're going to do to track them down.
Yeah,
and he's got connections on the outside, on the black market, you know, nefarious side of things, because he's a hitman. You know,
I might fall for that crap too. Is she hot?
No.
Oh. Well, this whole thing is kind of weird.
And he's not like a super handsome debonair hitman either. I mean, that's what she looks like.
Oh man.
You're like, oh.
Well,
but it's a crazy story. So keep an eye out for the Whites, non-related, but still, you know, on the lam together. What's her name?
On the lam? Is that what you're saying? On the lam together?
Yeah, Vicky White.
What does
and
that mean?
Casey White.
I mean, it means on the run, right?
You know,
what is that? What is on the lam? Is that like just a saying they came up with?
I think it's from. I don't know for a fact, but I think it's actually from a German thief who. I think he was German, but he practices thievery skills in the United States, and he was the guy that would, I can't remember his name, his last name was
Lamb.
Yeah, I can't remember what his first name was, but his last name was Lamb, and he was the one that kind of initiated casing
yeah
places and timing routines and that sort of thing, like huh. in the
Well, interesting, brother bear. Hey, so how's your life going, dude? What's going on?
It's good. New. It's good. It's good. So Wyoming is really, he's super duper close to walking, which is super cool. He's like, he'll get up and stand up, and then he'll just like hold on to something kind of lightly and take a few steps.
Isn't he like 8 months now? Ten months?
He's about to be a year this month.
What?
I know. Crazy, right?
Oh, my bad.
No, time is flying. It's crazy. It feels like he's just 6 months old.
But, okay, yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah. But, so yeah, we're doing that next weekend. Not this weekend, but...
His first year?
No, his
first birthday party?
Not next weekend. The following weekend after that. Because this weekend is Mother's Day, of course. And then, so happy Mother's Day if you're listening. Well, belated at this point.
What? Belated?
Well, I guess... Well, you'll probably release this tomorrow.
Oh, when it's going to be released. Yeah. Sorry.
It's this Sunday. Today's recording. We're recording Friday. So anyway, happy Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go visit my mom tomorrow. And then my mom's going to go visit her mom Sunday. And then I'm just going to pamper Sierra all day Sunday as well.
Heck yeah, dude. Yeah, so, shout out to all the moms out there, man. You guys make the world go around by actually having your kids. So very cool, you know, and taking care of that. So, yeah. Also,
the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So,
yeah, I've rocked a cradle before, so I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. All right, dude. Sounds like a plan, Stanny boy. Well, we got something else coming up, too. So, stocks fell,
well, after the close yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, dude, the stocks have been so crazy volatile this week.
You said they went up 1,000 on the industrial average.
So on,
and then went down 1,000, huh?
Yeah, so let me pull this up real quick. So on
1,000 points on Dow Industries.
Wednesday was the 4th. Yeah. So Wednesday was the 4th. It went up 1,000 points on Wednesday, and then actually maybe just under 1,000 points, maybe like 800 points. And then it crashed, actually crashed, cratered 1,200 points in a day, and then went back up and rebounded slightly to only dropping 1,000 points in a day.
Right.
So, I mean, the Dow Jones has been hovering in the low mid-30s, 30,000s all year. And what's crazy is, I mean, the Dow Jones is clearly in a bubble. I mean, if you look at the five-year average, just Google Dow Jones five-year average right now, and you'll see just it kind of slowly goes up, and then you see the big break where the pandemic happened. Of course, it crashes, and then it kind of – that's the time to buy right there, and then it kind of gradually builds back up. And right now, it's way more than it was pre-pandemic. Let's see. Yeah, like, golly.
I mean, it's
7,000 points higher?
Yeah, it's really because of right now, you know, you got inflation, you got
right.
The Fed increasing rates, and – you know,
but not increasing rates at the rate the market
they expected.
Is thinking. Yeah,
yeah, but
they were
still
thinking it was going to be 75 basis points. Since only,
but it was 50. That's still. I think either way, the market always reacts no matter what they expect. When the Fed raises rates, they react.
Yeah,
no matter what, even if they think it's going to be whatever it's going to. It doesn't matter what they think. Now, the only thing they'll do where they change their course of action is like if an earnings call comes out on a company and it's, you know, better than expected or worse than expected, then the market will react accordingly, of course. But as far as the Fed goes, dude, it's almost like any time the Fed is going to get up and speak,
right?
You better be ready in your stocks, no matter what the Fed says.
And I've heard from, I can't remember which economist was speaking about this, but, it wasn't an economist, it was Senator Rick Scott from Florida. He used to be the governor of Florida, and he was like, the Fed needs to quit worrying about tiptoeing around interest rates. They need to stop worrying about raising interest rates because that's just going to slow the economy and exacerbate an already like existing problem. We need to stop focusing on how bad inflation is. By the way, the CPI comes out next Wednesday. That's Consumer Price Index. So we're going to see how bad inflation is for this quarter next Wednesday.
Is that always – can they bump those numbers a little bit or
–
Because I know they like – dude, they dampen inflation for us like – when they say, oh, it's at 8%, okay, it's probably like 10%.
Well, the CPI is much more accurate.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. It's Consumer Price Index. It's basically what we buy in the prices of common goods like meat and milk and that sort of thing. So that's a really good index. There's also It's an actual economic index. It's actually called the Coca-Cola Index, and the big the I can't remember if it's a Big Mac or the I think it's a Big Mac index. So it's because McDonald's and Coke are basically sold worldwide.
Yeah.
So it's how much does that cost in that country, right? And then you'll kind of know in exchange. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. They do the same thing with Caterpillar.
Yeah.
With, like, world economy.
So Senator Rick Scott, just real quick back to that, was saying he's less worried about the Fed raising interest rates and curbing inflation than he is about their balance sheet.
Yeah.
The fact that our deficit has tripled or quadrupled in the last 2 years.
Right.
And we went from $1 trillion deficit, which is ridiculous. Like, we spend, I can't remember what the federal budget is, but it's something, something like $5 trillion. And we only take in like $4 trillion only. So we were running a deficit of $1 trillion every year, and that's what's added to the national debt. And Rick Scott was like, we've really got to slow that down because, interest rates might creep up and inflation might creep up, but if inflation creeps up and our debt skyrockets, that's going to be straight up economic collapse, and that's going to be us possibly defaulting on debt. That would literally cause another Great Depression,
right?
Like. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, dude, I can say this. What I can say is subscription-based products right now, for some reason, I want to say that's the move. Because, like, my EveryPlate subscription has not gone up at all. It's $50 every single week. And, guys, speaking of every freaking plate, dude, you should try it out. And if you do, click our link in the description below on our podcast episode. You get $20 off your first box. And that's awesome because I spend, like I said, $50 a week. I get all my meals delivered to me. And it includes meats and it includes veggies, fresh. And it includes all that stuff fresh to your door.
It's like two meals a day, right?
Well, I do. Yeah, it's two meals for me a day. It's
right,
two
right.
servings.
Two servings.
Two
a day,
servings
yeah.
of two whatever meal you're getting. So, and they pack it
for
down with
bucks
ice.
A week. That's not bad at all.
No, I know. They pack it. I get
five
four of those.
Meal.
So yeah, it's exactly that. It's literally $5 a meal. But anyway, dude, so it hasn't changed either, by the way. That's what I was going to say is on inflation, meat's going up and all the stuff's going up. My price of this box has not changed. What I have noticed, however, is they do try to slip in veggie meals.
Huh.
Every once in a while, but you can change your menu every week, so it doesn't matter. If they slip that in, I just say, nah, I'm not into that. Give me a meat meal. And that's how that works, dude. So it's freaking awesome, guys. Check it out. Description below. That's all I got to say about that.
So that's like a semi-sponsored ad?
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Yeah, that's why I'm saying that, because if you guys go click that link, you get $20 off for your first order, and we get a small bonus percentage, so...
Sweet. So the thing is, I was going to say, you mentioned food subscriptions. That's a really good one. And another good one that's not paid by us is Good Ranchers.
Good Ranchers.
Yeah, it's American beef, really good stuff. And they you can lock in your price.
Is that your uncle's company or whatever?
Huh.
Where did that come from? Good Ranchers.
I've just heard it.
Really?
I'm looking into it because I was like, beef is going up on a weekly basis at this point. So it's like, it might be kind of nice just to have a little subscription because...
Butcher Box is the same thing, man.
Yeah,
and I agree, man. They've stuck with their prices pretty much. But hey, I'll tell you what. You can also go buy your own cow and process it if you want. You can't do that. It's just funny because it's a lot,
You could do that.
You need to get – what you should do is get like five people together and be like, all right, let's all buy a cow because no one's going to be able to store a whole cow in the freezer.
Yeah, that's a lot of meat.
It's a lot of meat. Yeah, it is.
What do cows weigh, like 500 pounds?
Something like that.
So you're talking like what, 100 pounds of solid meat?
Yeah,
that's
a lot. It'd be a lot of meat, dude.
A whole lot.
But it's way cheaper if you do it that way, obviously. I'm actually trying to work on a documentary on ranching and all that. So,
oh, cool.
We'll see what happens. Anywho, We can move on now from that whole thing. Actually,
just real quick, I have a quote from from CNBC.
On the stocks?
Yeah.
Stocks.
So this is a quote from Barclays strategist Emmanuel Cao. He said, quote, "The widely anticipated relief rally seen in equities and bonds post the less hawkish than feared Fed on Wednesday was short-lived. Although aggressive 75 base points hikes," that's basically the Fed raising the lending rate 75 hundredths of a percent. So 0.75%. Hikes going, so he said, although aggressive 75 base point hikes going forward may be off the table, the implied policy tightening cycle ahead is still very hawkish in our view. Unless surging inflation quickly reverses its course, watch US CPI print next Wednesday, which I just mentioned, central banks may have no other choice than slowing growth to slow inflation and stay credible. So, yeah, that's not good news. It's like the squeeze is really tightening on banks and the Fed and inflation. I mean, if CPI is bad, you're going to see the Dow Jones pretty much keep tanking. It's going to keep going.
Yeah, I mean,
now's a good time to invest in precious metals and hard assets is all I got to say.
Hard assets, dude. I will say that for sure. Now, even when inflation started to rise, I was trying to tell people, you know, assets is where it's at.
Yep.
And the housing market is still kind of crazy. We have indications that it might slow down or cool down here shortly. But it's really not that big of a deal. Now, when I say slow down, I mean like instead of you getting 30-plus offers on a house, you're getting 15. So that's all that's really happening right now.
And in this market, my sister's a real estate agent in the DFW area. And shout out to Bria. And she...
What's her company name? Is it just her name as a real estate agent?
I can't remember what.
If you're gonna do a shout out, we need to make sure people know who the heck she is.
Well, Bria Smith. If you need to buy or sell a house, look up Bria Smith.
Bria Smith, dude. Yeah. Heck yeah.
She'll hook you up. So she's had a friend that she was selling a house to, and the house was I think it was either $360,000 or $340,000, and they put in an offer of $400,000. And they were like the only ones that could get the house. So that's what they ended up buying the house at was $400,000 because it was the price on the window sticker said $360,000 or $340,000, and they had to offer that much higher.
That's dumb. Yeah, but I mean, you're right. Yeah, they're going $50,000 to $100,000 over. It's crazy.
It's nuts. So we offered like 7% more.
Yeah.
Than asking price.
Dude, Nolan was able to get his house for the exact asking price.
Yeah.
Recently in Weatherford, I was like, whoa.
Well, Weatherford, yeah.
It's wild.
It's not quite as hot out there than it is.
Bro, it is though, because someone else, one of my friends, is moving from New Jersey to Weatherford, and he couldn't find a freaking place without putting in 40 or 50 grand over. Whew. In Weatherford, bro.
Jeez.
It's insane. Anyway, dude, the whole DFW metro. I think Parker County is the next place that. Well, I don't think that actually.
It's been booming. Dude.
My friend said Parker County is the next McKinney or whatever because they're like it's the last place that's open that's an hour away from the airport.
Huh.
So they think. I'm like, well, maybe so. We'll see.
That's where I grew up, Parker County.
I know, Alito. Yeah.
Since I was 5 years old, so
grew up in Parker County.
It's crazy because
I don't know. Is there a Parker County song?
I hope not. So it's funny because I am that like old man now that like when I drive by where I used to live in Parker, I'm like,
so much has changed.
When this was field, like all field as far as the eye could see. You can see downtown Fort Worth from here. I used to go camping in that field with my buddies. That's all true though, but I sound like an old man. I'm like, man.
That's all true.
Now
though.
It's all like a big ass.
That was your Biden impression, except you were coherent.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, here's another story for this whole. Well, you know what? I'm gonna wait for that one because that one's kind of crazy. Let's talk about the Judicial Watch statement on the leak of the draft opinion in Dobbs versus Jackson case,
bro.
Huh?
This is so okay. Let me preface this. What we're about to talk about is this Supreme Court case.
Is that where we're at now? Are we going into that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
we're good. Let's freaking roll in, bro. This is the big one, guys. This is the main freaking meat potatoes of this whole episode.
So, gosh, where do I even begin? This is probably the biggest Supreme Court case of our lives so far. I mean,
dude, this is
the early 90s, so
decades, bro. Even more than our life. It's crazy.
Yeah. Definitely in the last 50 years. Well, there's been a lot of really big ones, but this is definitely... this could lead to a constitutional amendment.
What's crazy to me is that it wasn't... Like, whenever it happened, they were like, oh, yeah, they're fighting Mississippi on this and this. And then you don't hear anything about it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I really haven't heard anything about it, and they don't make it out to be, which is probably good. That's probably for a reason. Honestly, in this case, I'm not going to say it's the mainstream narrative. I'm going to say Supreme Court needs to stay away from all everything.
Well, from public opinions
and everything, right?
Nothing. The courts don't have anything to do with public.
And so that's probably good that it didn't get mentioned.
Criminal courts, civil courts, and you know, Supreme Court.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden,
appellate courts. None of that has anything to do with. Popular opinion. It should never have anything to
right.
do with popular opinion.
It shouldn't
why it's
have
a separate branch
politics,
of government.
Technically.
I mean, the executive you know? Branch shouldn't really have much to do with popular opinion. It should kind of slightly sway one way or the other towards popular opinion. But really, the only one that should be even kind of swayed because of popular, the only branch of government, federal branch of government that should be swayed by popular opinion is Congress, because it is, you know, the voice of the people, right?
Right. Yeah.
The Supreme Court justices are not the voice of the people at all. They are not.
That's I agree.
Not
their They're job. Not supposed to be.
They are
They're
supposed
actually...
to interpret the Constitution and interpret laws and how they interact and are constitutionally viable. That's,
right.
That's
so
it.
They're supposed to defend those things. That's it.
Yep. Interpret the Constitution. That's it.
So that's why they're not supposed to be political.
And,
they're not
and,
supposed to be
judicial.
Any of that.
Interpret judicial precedent. Right. So that's what they're doing here is they're interpreting judicial precedent. But so there's two big chunks of news right out of this Supreme Court leak. The big chunk of news is the leak. The bigger chunk of news is the overturning of Roe v. Wade potentially. Justice Alito had a leaked opinion in the Dobbs v. Jackson case out of Mississippi. Or Dobbs v. Mississippi, either one. So we'll start with the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. He made the following statement on the leak of the draft of the Alito opinion, Justice Alito. He said, quote, "The leak of the Supreme Court draft opinion on Roe is a dangerous obstruction of justice. And it could very well lead to intimidation and violence directed at Supreme Court justices." It already has all, by the way, this is an aside, all the Supreme Court justices are in hiding right now, all of them. There is a non-scalable fence around the Supreme Courthouse. And there have been multiple threats on their lives, like credible threats on their lives.
Oh, but January 6th was an insurrection.
Right, yes, but that was an insurrection.
You know, I've seen
the FBI
several...
is still going hard on January 6th.
Oh, I know. I've seen several tweets about this right here, and a leftist will be like, this needs to happen. Whenever the Mexican government had a problem with their gender whatever rules, they stormed their capital and burnt it down or lit it on fire, whatever they said. And I'm like, what the heck
so
are you
talking
about?
So violence is the answer? Like,
no, so you
heck?
Want an insurrection now? Like, I'm
yeah,
like, hold on
yeah,
a second.
Exactly.
Hold on a second. And so
it's
this
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's the same old story that I always bring up. Double standards, blah, 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 whatever. But I really want to pinpoint that, you know, the overturning of Roe v. Wade was already something everyone was talking about. This leak is literally something that hasn't happened, has it?
It's never happened in the history of the United States.
Yeah, and that's why...
Well, in the modern history, I mean...
I thought there was one that had... I thought it was smaller, maybe, in like 2007?
No.
But,
not with the Supreme Court.
The thing is
and
like...
It wasn't a draft decision. And the thing is, they... There could be multiple motivations behind the leak. It could be to try and motivate Congress to act and codify legalized abortion across the United States.
Right. Well, see, I was thinking – so I went into this and I got a Gallup poll.
Uh-huh.
And the polling basically would show that there are – I wouldn't say as many, but there are definitely several Republicans that would agree with abortion or say that it's okay in certain circumstances.
Right.
And that was the way the question was worded. It was like, do you think abortion should be legal in all or certain percentage of circumstances, right? And so they would say yes. And of course, it's not that they want all abortion, but my point in saying all this is, you know, everyone wants to pinpoint this on the left. It has to be a liberal that leaked this document, but what if it wasn't? Because mm-hmm. we're in midterms, and I think this is just as much an issue for Republicans as it is leftists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've heard that they already know who it is.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
And they've already caught him.
That was quick.
Well, there's only like 36 clerks for the Supreme Court, and it was one of them. So there's
some
quick.
People were saying that it was like just a hacked email. It could have been anyway, I guess, but I guess not.
I
doubt it. I'm saying that was something.
I don't even think that they have drafts.
Because why would they have email?
Yeah, they would.
None of that would be emailed, right?
Plus, they have secure servers that are unhackable, like they're closed servers. But anyway, so I'm going to read the rest of Tom Fenton's statement. It's a pretty good statement.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
He said, "I'm just going to start over and just go plow straight through it." So he said, "This is the so this is Judicial Watch real quick is a conservative judicial activism organization, and they watch the Supreme Court like hawks and subsequent courts as well. So he said, the leak of the Supreme Court draft opinion on Roe is a dangerous obstruction of justice, and it could very well lead to the intimidation and violence directed at Supreme Court justices. The unprecedented leak fits with the left's continued assault against the Supreme Court. As soon as the news of the leaked opinion broke, left-wing protesters were at the Supreme Court. There must be a full investigation, but I am not holding my breath when it comes to the Biden administration upholding the rule of law, especially when administration allies, including Senator Chuck Schumer, have threatened justices in the past. In the meantime, let's hope the rule of law prevails and the precious lives of unborn human beings can once again be protected under law.
Okay. Interesting. But another thing I want to say is like, you know, this could open up the doors for not even just leftists, but, you know, you have mafia, you know, all that crap that would happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not right now for this specific issue, but that's why it's so important that we keep Supreme Court, you know, off of public. I actually don't like it. Like, even though, you know, Republicans want to be like, they could be happy that this happened because it might be better for Roe v. Wade or something, or actually maybe the exact opposite. You know, I don't think any of it's good. The leak itself is just terrible. It's not good.
Oh, yeah. It's a deterioration of the trust in the Supreme
Freaking
Court.
Ted Cruz was like, yeah, this is a judicial insurrection. That's what he called it. He called the leak a judicial insurrection. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, DeSantis said that.
Interesting.
Too.
DeSantis did?
Yeah. So
maybe it was DeSantis I was reading, actually.
Yeah, it may have been. They've all released a bunch of statements. Judicial Watch also filed an amicus curiae brief, which basically translates to friend of the court, amicus curiae. And it's basically just a filing in which it's an argument made on behalf of the plaintiff or defendant. So they argued in favor of overturning Roe. And they basically said we should restore the regulation of abortion to the state. So when you overturn Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court precedent, you're not banning abortion across the United States. You're basically saying it's reverted back to the states to decide how much they want to regulate abortion. So you could get a third trimester abortion in California or New York, literally kill your baby as it's coming out of you. Or, I'm not joking, you literally could do that in New York. Or you could be 6 weeks pregnant, not even know you're pregnant, and then not be allowed to get an abortion in Texas and Mississippi. And that's all that would happen. So if you want to, you know, kill your child in your stomach, in your body, then you can move to one of those liberal states. Fine, cool.
Well, they also have, like, travel, like, funds.
Amazon is paying its employees $4,000 in travel expenses to go get an abortion.
Right.
Not to get an abortion. To go and kill your child. That's what I'm not using euphemisms anymore. It's literally killing a child. So it's not an abortion. It's not reproductive health care. That's BS. It's none of that crap.
Yeah.
So I'm passionate about it because it's an absolute genocidal travesty what's going on in this country. And it definitely should be abolished instantly nationwide.
Well, I just think everyone needs to start arguing over when life begins rather than... Because I don't think a regular human being that walks this earth really wants to kill someone. I think they may just really think that it's not alive. It's not a human. That's what I'm getting.
The people that are... I think, honestly, a lot of the people that have a pro-choice stance... They have the attitude of, I don't want to impose my morals on someone else. Okay, well, do you think it's okay to murder someone? Well, no. So you're imposing your morals on someone else either way.
Right.
I mean, It's what do we so I told Sierra this the other day, and that it's laws are a reflection of a society's morals. That's it. That's what laws are. They're a reflection of society's morals, and it is a huge reflection of our morals that abortion is legal in this country. This is one of the few countries where abortion is legal after 24 weeks. We're one of like 9 countries in the world where that's allowed.
And this all started because Mississippi had the 15-week ban.
Right.
You know, Texas, it was so weird to me. Supreme Court, I guess because Mississippi passed theirs first, but they didn't choose Texas to go after with
I think
the
actually
week.
Texas passed it first, but there was a different argument. I can't remember the nuances of it, but.
Well, Mississippi is just basically like, nowhere in the Constitution does it tell me, you know, about abortion at all.
Right.
So they're like, why are you coming after us for this? But, you know, all that to say, like I said, I think it's when life begins. I think we should be, you know, talking about that instead. But bottom line, I mean, it should be up to the states, in my opinion.
Right. So this is real quick. This is Judicial Watch's Amicus Curiae. This is an excerpt from it. So they said, quote, despite creative judicial legislating, that means basically making laws from the court bench, from the judicial bench. Despite creative judicial legislating, it is crystal clear that abortion does not involve war, peace, negotiation, foreign commerce, or taxation. Abortion fits squarely into the state's sphere of objects that concern the, quote, lives, liberties, and properties of the people, not being an enumerated power. The Roe Court did not have the authority to overturn the abortion laws of the states. So basically saying the 10th Amendment states, if, you know, I'm not quoting verbatim, but if the federal government does not specifically have the right to control, like it says, war, peace, negotiation, foreign commerce, or taxation, then the rights of making those decisions fall to the state. Mm-hmm. I kind of mangled it, but that's basically the gist of it. If it's not the right of the federal government to control, then it's this up to the states. And abortion fits squarely into that category. And that's all that would happen. That's all that would happen. You can be in a pro-life state. You can be in a murder state if you want. That's fine.
Well, and see, so what I have been doing too is I've been bringing up death penalty with this.
Right.
And it's interesting how much backlash I get on that. Because I am a guy that doesn't believe that we have a right to say who lives and dies. That's religious reason behind that and everything's whatever. But I actually thought that it'd be easy to – I thought that was agreeable. But it's really not. And it's – I guess the argument is, well, they made their choice, you know, and they're
– yeah.
Going to die, and I guess I get that, but I also still don't care. I like don't think that we're gonna have that. We don't have that power, you know.
Yeah,
because I believe in a God, right? So it's like, man, I don't think I have that power. But and also, if you want to go from a freaking like a cost standpoint, it costs more for everybody.
Well, not in South Carolina because they just legalized firing squads. So
oh, okay.
Which, if I was going to be put to death,
yeah, but
firing squad all day.
Is it firing squad after 20 years, or is it firing squad as soon as they're on death row? Because that's one of the reasons it costs more, because they have to have more than one lawyer. They have to have more people involved.
All the appellate and process is why
it costs
so much.
There's a totally different trial for death row like people.
Right. It's like it's death row appellate process, yeah.
Yeah, and it costs. That's why it costs a little bit more, not just the injection. I know the pharmaceuticals make money from that and all that stuff, too. You know,
it's
that
very
is,
expensive.
It is inflated. It's insane. But it's really just the whole process is definitely inflated as far as cost goes. So it literally does end up costing more than a normal freaking life sentence. So they're not a life sentence isn't as much of a tax burden, even though it probably still is a tax burden, in my opinion. And so that's why I'm like, who gives a crap? What's the difference here? What's the difference in this guy living his life throughout in prison or us killing him? Again, in 20 years, because it always takes forever.
It takes a very long time.
He's already lived this freaking life.
Depending on the state, depending on the state and the appellate process within that state. Yeah.
So that would be my other argument. So I can forget the moral argument. Just say, look, it's just all freaking inflated and dumb. And why are we doing this? But whatever. But that's all to say, that's where I bring this argument. That's where I take this, because I'm like, well, I'm pro-life, but are we pro-life all the way? You know, that's kind of where I'm like, dang, dude. But again, we've talked about this before, you know, but I don't have to say my views again. You guys have heard it, so whatever.
Well, I mean, new listeners may not go back all the way to 2 years ago.
Well, so I'm a plan B guy. I believe in the plan B.
Yeah.
That's as far as it goes for me.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's not... The sperm has not met the egg at that point.
Sure, right, exactly. And I think that if some terrible thing happens to a woman, you know, and they're not expecting it.
Right, like AKA she gets raped.
Rape.
Yeah.
It sucks, but you have that next day and you better be freaking...
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing is...
I hate to say that, you know, but that's...
a super, obviously, incredibly difficult position that, you know...
Absolutely terrible.
99% of men can't relate to, because men don't get raped the same way women do, obviously.
Right.
Maybe
they don't have
the fact that I can empathize as much as possible with the fact that a woman would have to make that decision within 24 hours of, like, if I'm pregnant, I don't want to have a baby. Or where do I stand on all this? Like, you got to decide, like, you know, now.
Well, you also and you also think about it beforehand. Like, you know, I think about that. This is gonna sound weird, but like, if I'm like in a position where, you know, what if before I ever have sex, I'm gonna think about that. You know what I'm saying?
About,
you're gonna think about, like, well, I don't want to have a kid or anything like that. You think about, it's not like you don't think about these things.
Yeah,
like,
if you're responsible,
I guess. But why would you? You obviously think about it. It's like an obvious thing for me. It's just like,
yeah, it's because you're a responsible human being. There's a lot of people out there that just some. I mean, there's some horrible human beings that kill their babies as a means of contraception, right? Like, they're just like, oh, I had another, you know, quote-unquote abortion today.
Right.
They celebrate it, right? And that's just like, okay, well, you're straight up celebrating murdering a child, so that's kind of sick. But
well, I read this scientific article, too, on that whole When Life Begins thing, too. But anyway, whatever. This is it. This is the state of the world we're in right now.
Yeah.
And it, of course, said that according to science, this is how it goes, and there's no bias here on the article and all this crap. And it was just saying, basically, you know, as soon as a cell is formed here, it's not a normal cell, and we know it's different because, and it listed all the reasons.
It's got its own DNA.
And then it was like, and we know that, you know, an organism is this, and then it explained all that. And then it was like, so this cell that ends up being made is human, and we can't say that it's anything like anything else. And they were like, so there we go, you know. I was like, dang, son. And it's a professor, associate professor, actually, at a well-known university. And she was just like, yeah, this is how it is. I'm like, dang.
Talk about crazy. A scientific consensus about, like, global warming.
There's hundreds of publications on peer-reviewed studies of this exact thing.
But no one wants to even make the argument about when life begins. They want to argue, well, is abortion a right or not? Well, it doesn't matter. It's a mute point. Mm-hmm. Because it is murder. Just because a person is still developing inside of another person doesn't make it not a person.
Right, and that's
my thing.
And
people will say, oh, it's a fetus that turns into a human. No, a fetus is like saying teenager or middle-aged person. That's a point Matt Walsh brought up. It's like fetus is a stage of development. It's not a different thing.
And like Joe Rogan said, you know, this is a complicated issue, which I guess it is, on the When Life Begins thing, but it's not really because the science says it, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, what do we do when it's a clump of cells? Well, it turns out that clump of cells is still a human. So, you know,
it's like we're clumps of cells.
It's pretty serious there. Yeah. I don't have much to say.
It's just a very, like, glib way of describing a human.
Now, here's the thing. I saw some leftists. I saw Twitter. You know, I'm on Twitter all the time, guys. And hopefully when I start getting this whole video thing rolling better, I'll pop up these tweets on here like beep, beep, you know, and you guys will see them that I see all the time. But one of the leftists was like, okay, if we can't get abortions, you have to force the dad to take care of the kid.
Okay.
And literally everybody was like, these are acceptable terms.
Deal. Yeah, deal.
These are acceptable terms.
It's like
you said this too.
Pro-lifers. Yeah, yeah.
The welfare
exactly.
queen. And you talked about this.
Right.
And what's interesting is as soon as you talk about this, this freaking leak happens. And here we are dealing with this problem that literally stems from when welfare was introduced. And I never think about it that much. Until you were like, nah, dude, this is it. This is society's problems. I'm like, wow, crap, okay. That's a pretty big pill to swallow, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's when it all began. Mid-20th century was the beginning of America's decline, for sure. And the sexual revolution, Michael Knowles kind of talks about the sexual revolution and how detrimental it was to American society. And I'm not much of, like, I'm not a huge social conservative. Like, I'm pretty libertarian in that regard. But, the deterioration of American society definitely began in the late 50s. The beatniks ruined it all for everybody. Because they brought in the hippies, and they were just the worst. Smelly and gross. So,
yeah! I'm into that, actually. That's me.
So, yeah, we need like you mentioned earlier, you black feet and everything. Like you mentioned earlier, the soles of your feet are black from walking around barefoot. You mentioned earlier
but they're not. Okay, yeah, maybe, whatever.
Making the argument about when life begins instead of, is it a right? It's not. That's a moot point.
Yeah, I mean, and then people want to say, like, oh, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have murders in the streets and, you know, back alley abortions and stuff like that. And right. I, you know, maybe so.
No.
But here's the thing. But here's the deal. What did the 6-week abortion ban do in Texas? It decreased abortions by 10%. What will it do when we completely ban abortions whenever the auto trigger laws are in place after Roe v. Wade is overturned? Because that's a thing.
Yep.
You know, the projections are about 14%. So I and down 14%. So I mean I'm not going to tell you it'll get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
And if it's easy enough right now to go across state lines that you can make that happen. So I don't think we're not all just going to get out of this scotch free.
Right. And
but it's up to the states, in my opinion. It should be up to states.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a states' rights issue.
But did you know? So like half the southern states have auto trigger laws to ban completely after Roe v. Wade is overturned. Yep. And I'm like, wow, they were really planning on this, huh?
Yeah. And so one thing I kind of mentioned earlier, I think I trailed off, but so I was talking to Sierra about it, and she's been pro life since she was 16, just hardcore. And she, I was mentioning to her, like, you don't like laws are a reflection of a society's morals, and it's the morality comes first. Society has to have those morals first. It doesn't come. You can't legislate morality. Like, you just can't. And a couple of Daily Wire hosts want to argue opposite, but I just disagree wholeheartedly. You cannot make a law that says, you know, this is bad because we say so as the government. That's never going to work. The people need to basically be convinced on their own volition, not through the government. And then that volition needs to manifest into new laws and new regulations to reflect that growth in understanding of like a society's moral maturation.
Well, think about when you're having a conversation with somebody and you want to get them to do your thing or agree with you or change their mind, right?
Yeah.
What works? Listening and then giving them some ideas and then let them run with that.
Right.
And you're planting the seed. That's what always works in any kind of discussion. What doesn't work is saying, you're wrong, here's what it is. Or, hey, you need to do this or whatever.
Yeah. Think about it like this. Think about it like this. Just happened, right? Just recently. The moral thing to do, right, would have been to get – I'm just going to just hold on, YouTube. Hold on to your seat, please. So the government was saying, oh, the moral thing to do for your friend and neighbor was get the vaccine, right? But the sheer fact that it was the government saying that turned so many people off, including me. Still unvaxxed, probably. Haven't had COVID twice, breezed through it.
Yeah.
But real quick. And so that turns off a lot of people. And the fact that people won't listen just because the government says to do it, that's a great reason not to do something, actually. But if the government had just stayed out of the whole thing, I guarantee you I would have gotten the vaccine by now.
And that is it, man. It's a matter of saying, hey, we have a vaccine. It works okay. You can get it if you want or you don't have to.
Right.
And if they would have done that from the beginning, yes.
We highly encourage you to get it, but we're not going to legislate your lives. We're not going to command you to get some. That's obviously not something we can do.
And the conspiracy theories probably wouldn't exist. Everything about it, all the arguments against it probably wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And you know how many people got the vaccines before that one? Like before that one was ever available, like the mumps vaccine or whatever vaccines, measles vaccines. Well, they just got them because it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a freaking pressure point.
Right.
Now I'm questioning that.
I mean, don't even get me started on vaccines because just as an aside, the vaccines, first of all, aren't even vaccines. They're genetic treatments is what they are.
Oh, genetic therapy. Yeah.
Gene therapy. And it's not a vaccine.
The ones so, now. Calling the it COVID vaccine, vaccines right
COVID
now.
Yeah, vaccines COVID vaccines specifically. Yes. I'm not talking about mumps, measles, rubella. That's all. Those are normal vaccines.
Right.
Those keep you from getting the
disease. Even
the
Johnson & Johnson is a gene therapy vaccine. It is the exact same vaccine we were lied to. Obviously, it's not a traditional vaccine.
Yes. So when you call it, it's a misnomer. It's not a vaccine. So, you know.
Just keep that in mind. Gene therapy.
Keep that in mind. It's a gene therapy. It literally changes your DNA.
Experiment.
The last thing we'll say about the Supreme Court leak, of course, is my boy Ben Shapiro came out with a recent analysis on his website, The Daily Wire. And it came out on Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And so, oh my gosh, it's not that long. I could probably give you the cliff notes of it. So, Ben Shapiro from The Daily Wire. Basically, this week, I'm going to paraphrase most of it, just blaze through it. So, this week, an anonymous letter violated generations of Supreme Court norms by passing onto Politico. So, real quick, the leaker, this is like kind of secondhand here, but the leaker dated a guy who used to work for the potential leaker, you know.
The potential suspect.
So. It's a suspect, yeah.
Yeah.
She dated a guy that, and she clerked for Sotomayor, Justice Sotomayor. She dated a guy, or is dating a guy, that used to work for Politico, and co-authored lots of articles with the guy who authored this leaked memo. So it was, you know, her.
Wow, that was pretty insane.
Ugh, yikes.
Pretty insane spiderweb.
You need to remove that, you're, like, that, it's like, less than 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon. So anyway.
Yeah, dude, these other freaking fools are escaped from prison. What are you doing?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, she just got, you know, disbarred. It was never going to be a lawyer. She's probably just going to have to be an activist for the rest of her life, you know.
An activist.
Which she's going to make, you know, a lot of money doing that, but whatever. The draft decision reportedly supported by a majority of the court, including Justices Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. And then, of course, the opinion was written by Justice Alito. So that makes 5 justices, making it a 5-4 decision. Of course, Roberts, a Bush appointee, is probably going to vote for the upholding Roe, which is ridiculous. Roberts is a joke. And his leadership, the fact that he's the Chief Justice is a joke. He should just step aside.
Well, like, even not...
You can be a justice, but you just need to step aside and just admit you're liberal. So,
yeah, if we're going by the Constitution and by law, you know, it shouldn't be a thing we should not uphold.
Yeah, exactly. So they chunk Roe in its entirety, denying the existence of any constitutional, quote, right to abortion. The majority opinion also trashes Roe's follow-up case, Planned Parenthood v. Casey from 1992, which substituted a vague and unworkable, quote, undue burden test to determine whether or not a law restricting abortion was unconstitutional in place of Roe's trimester framework. Alito writes, quote, the Constitution does not prohibit the citizens of each state from regulating or prohibiting abortion. Roe and Casey arrogated that authority. So you're just saying they're bad decisions.
Yep.
Let's see. Yeah, so New York, like, Bishop basically reiterates what I said earlier, which is true. This is legal, like, literally legally true. New York can continue. So if Roe gets overturned, New York can continue to allow abortion until birth, while Texas would ban nearly all abortion. I'm okay with that in the short term, but I kind of agree with Michael Knowles and Ben Shapiro, most true pro-life people, is they want to ban nationwide, you know, globally eventually. But to do it nationwide, you basically have to have a constitutional amendment, which requires a convention of states, which is almost never going to happen because the powers that be don't want the people to realize they have that much power over their government.
Yeah, convention of states for almost anything is almost
The last time it happened was the early 70s, I think.
Yeah. Because we talked about this for the Texas seceding. They have to be confession of states.
Yep, yep. And they basically have to let us leave, and they would never let us do that because we're an economic powerhouse for the nation. We are like the 13th biggest economy in the world, Texas.
Yeah! Texas forever, dude. Let's flex our Texas muscles, huh?
Flex our Texas. Let's see. let's see. So this is kind of funny. More Ben Shapiro. According to the left, the end of Roe will usher in a fascistic hellscape. President Joe Biden called the decision radical and said, quote, the idea that we're letting the states make those decisions, localities make those decisions, would be a fundamental shift in what we've done. Yeah, obviously, you want power at the local level. Like, that's where it lies the best. And that's the closest to the people's local, right? I mean, you might even know your local school board member, you know, or your local mayor. You may even know him or met him. You're never going to meet the governor or the president. Like, that's, you know, most Americans never meet them. So,
well, we had Don Huffines on our show.
Hell yeah, so almost governor. Almost ran for. Anyway, so let's see. Yeah, so Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, called the decision, quote, a dark and disturbing day for America to, you know, not allow children to be murdered by the tens of millions. Elizabeth Warren, old Lizzie, Pocahontas said, quote, angry and upset. The Republicans have been working towards this day for decades. Yeah. They've been, they're out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices like Amy Coney Barrett, who adopted a poor Down syndrome kid just so she could flaunt him in front of people, and little black kids, so she could flaunt him in front of people because she knew one day she'd be on that stand and go, look, I have black kids. These are my tokens. That's what people think. That's what leftists think. And it's like, no, she's just a really good Catholic lady who wanted to adopt people because she was in a good position to be able to do something to help the world. Because she believes in life and not murdering children in the womb. God. So, yeah, so they've been out there. So Liz Warren, Pocahontas, goes on and says, carefully cultivating the Supreme Court justice so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. So polling says Roe v. Wade is supported by about 69% of Americans, but most Americans don't realize that Roe, just like overturning Roe, simply returns the decision back to the states, and you know, in terms of regulating child
murder. Yeah, it doesn't get rid of it completely, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, there
it's up to the states, and the thing is, liberal states are going to. And Ben Shapiro makes this point in another article. He basically says, you know, the Great Migration is going to keep the Great Divide is going to keep happening, and you're going to have. California is going to get more blue, and more blue, and Florida and Texas are going to get more and more red. And
yeah, what are we worried about at this point? Yeah, I mean, like, you guys are already where you want to be, apparently, you know,
right?
Or you're moving where you want to be. So there you go.
Right. Nothing's going to happen. It does not affect you or anyone in your state. You know, state laws are basically going to be what the legislature have been pushing for, right?
Unless you're in San Antonio or Austin where they're having protests for this thing.
Right.
And they're for abortion. You know, I think that at that point you got to decide, am I going to move out of this state?
Right.
You know?
You got to decide what your values are, right? And that's the thing is now people will be able to, not now, but like if Roe gets overturned, because this is just a leaked draft decision. Nothing has actually happened yet as far as actual, you know, laws being changed,
right?
Or actually, it's not a law being changed. It's the Supreme Court precedent being overturned, and rights being reverted back to the states, which is good. I believe in states' rights and federalism. That's a good thing.
I mean, it's like the last few podcasts we've talked about. I don't know when it was. It was a while back. We talked about this. You know, states are going to become like mini countries. You know, where you go to one that you believe in and you have values in, and they agree with your values, and it's great, you know?
The thought I was having and then kind of spaced out on was like the people are going to be better represented by those states.
Right.
And we're going to have in the long term, we're going to have less divisiveness because abortion won't be a national issue. You're not going to have people on the internet in Texas arguing against people on the internet in California about abortion anymore. Because it's still going to be there, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's a state decision. It's kind of like a marijuana law. Do we have a national discussion about whether we do? But it's not as divisive as an issue. Obviously, it's not the best analogy, but we guns, don't have
guns. Might be a good analogy there, but
yeah, that's a good analogy. That's a better analogy.
We don't argue. I mean, I don't really argue a lot with people on guns.
And the thing is, the right to bear arms is literally a constitutional amendment. It's the second constitutional amendment, right after the most important one, free speech. So, yeah, that's a little bit different. There's no constitutional right to murder children. So it's like, it blows my mind, the vitriol and like passion that pro child murderers have for child murder, because I just can't picture it any other way, you know. And we have a podcast, a Toasty podcast episode about abortion where we specifically talk about it.
We did Planned Parenthood, stuff like that. What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I was saying,
talking about
Margaret Sanger and all that stuff.
We may do another one too. Another deep dive on it.
We'll probably do one when the Supreme Court decision actually gets done, because we'll see a lot of stuff happen very quickly in about a week.
Yeah, we're getting to the point where we need to bring some stuff up again.
Yeah, right. Yeah, podcast. Full circle.
So I mean, I'm there for that. Bottom line, guys, this leak is not good. It means that the justices are under some extreme pressure,
right?
And that's not good for their decisions for obvious reasons. They're supposed to be unbiased. They're supposed to follow the Constitution, regardless of our bias on the show. Whatever we believe in, it actually isn't good that there was a leak, and it isn't good that they, you know, leaked their vote. So, you know, that's all I gotta say. Bottom line, that's what we need to be talking about right now,
right? And the fact that the Supreme Court should not be pressured, they should almost be sequestered, right? But they should not be pressured by public opinion.
And
John Roberts is literally just a freaking windsock. He's like a politician. He's like a freaking politician, but he's not. He's supposed to be a judge.
I should say impartial. Public or political opinion, like none of it.
Right.
They had to follow the Constitution and what that's it.
Like they interpret the Constitution. They say, is this law constitutional the way it's written, or is it not?
Right.
That's it. They don't decide whether the public thinks it is or not. So that's
there you go, guys.
Oh, and it. Sorry, real quick. This is unrelated. Do you have something to say about?
No, this is the end.
So this is like, I saw this article and I was like, that's so boss. I really wish Trump was president again. So
really,
wow. Yeah, dude. I'm Trump over DeSantis for sure. For sure, after reading this article, that 100% solidified my decision. Because I was like a little bit on the fence, like, well, this isn't more polished Trump. But no, Trump is Trump, bro. He's hard, and I love it. So he asked his generals, Joint Chief of Staff. He asked his freaking Joint Chief of Staff, hey, can we just cruise missile the F out of Mexican cartel drug factories? They won't even know it was us. Verbatim quote from DJT, bro. They won't even know it was us. Let's just cruise missile the crap. Tomahawk missiles. Let's just destroy their drug factories.
Well, now
bro.
They'll know it was us.
Well, yeah, that was in 2019 and 2020.
Oh, wow.
He really wanted to straight up airstrike drug cartel facilities. Like, where they're making fentanyl and killing millions of Americans.
Oh, they are. Not like, even just Americans. They're killing probably.
Yeah.
Millions of people around the world.
It's the thing about South America, billions, bro, because there's no the regulations are way less in South America. It's way easier to smuggle things, you know, down there when they don't have the resources.
And it takes nothing to kill you with that. So
yes,
I saw
one guy on the street who's it was $10 of fentanyl. And the guy was like, "I'll sell it to you," and he's like, "I've never done fentanyl before. Will this kill me?" And he was like, "Yeah, this will kill you if you do all of it. Yeah, for sure."
Well, at least he was honest.
Yeah, honest drug dealer, but he was like, I was like, I'll sell it to you.
Well, look, that would ruin the freaking money we get from drugs. So the money we get from the drug war. So that would ruin America's little scheme they got going on. So they can't do that. Anyway, guys, if you're listening for the first time, thank you so much for getting this far. And obviously, this is the Toasty Podcast. Like, share, subscribe. If you guys leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or
YouTube,
Facebook. YouTube doesn't have reviews. Or our Facebook post.
We'll leave a comment on YouTube.
Oh, my gosh. If you leave us a freaking review on the Toasty Podcast Facebook page or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I'll give you a free Toasty tea. Send it right to you. Obviously, do all the shit on YouTube. Comment, you know, like, whatever.
Comment, like, subscribe. click the bell for notifications.
Whatever your platform is, stick to it. Need to grow. Subscribe to that, and we will catch you guys next time. Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
Life's not fair, and I'm here for that. See what I seem to be back for that. Learn as I go, just an act for that. Back for that. But this ain't one of them boom boom paps, and this ain't one of them smash collabs, and I go hard like smash and grab, it's a beer. Yeah. Now all I want to do is make clear that all I'm trying to do is rap, but not like one of them mumble queers, cause all they seem to know is trap. You notice how I switch a flow for y'all, just to see y'all clap. Look, when it comes down to it, I'll get right down to it. Yeah.
Toasty.